What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. Big O and Jester are in the house. How's everybody doing?
What's up, motherfuckers?
Yes, yes, yes. We are almost halfway through season one, the first half of season four. We're going to be going into, we got another episode coming up, and then we're going to go into that mid-season break. We're going to take a couple of weeks, plan out the next half of this season. And we're going to have maybe 13 or 12 more spotlight comedians. We got some really, really heavy hitters coming up for the second half of the season. So again, we're going to go ahead and keep with the theme and keep spotlighting those comedians and their different comedic styles. Tonight's a good one. A lot of people are like hit and miss on this guy. We think he's fucking hilarious. He's really annoying to listen to. He was the Aflac duck. I'm talking about Mr. Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
So we've got some topics tonight that are inspired by, you know, Gilbert and his comedy style and, him being cheap, you know, bribery, that sort of thing. So it's going to be a good one. And so before we get into that, I just had to take a second to pour a little out for Marianne from Gilligan's Island, who died this week. Don Wells passed away, and she was my favorite. I was in a very big on Ginger. I much rather preferred Marianne.
You can't have her. She liked me more than you. I know she did. I mean, geez, man, she was the best one on the island next to Gilligan.
That would be funny to, you know, you think about those roles that people played in different movies and different TV shows, and you just kind of swapped them out with Gottfried. Like we get into a little bit of that towards the end of the show. In a little bit, I'm going to take a crack at a very old joke that's been around since the vaudeville days. It's called The Aristocrats. So, we'll get into it later. So if you want to go ahead and start Googling it now, you know, go for it. Later on, if you're very interested, there's a whole documentary that was done about this joke. So hopefully
just keep in mind, it's not for the faint of heart. And if you're really disgusted about simple joke humor and the way that this might go, you will not like it. But if you have an open mind, you like sick dick jokes, you like blood, gore, humor, this is the way to go for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Gilbert told this one at one of those Friars Club roasts, like kind of impromptu. I was watching a clip of that, and he was just going off, and just I think what added to it is his fucking voice, that nasally high pitched, like fucking annoying voice. And so to me, that just made it like so much funnier than some of the other renditions that I had heard of it. And I had watched the documentary, and again, I won't spoil it, but there are comics that fucked up the punchline. And so that's because of a Disney movie, and we'll explain later. So, yeah, so pour a little coconut juice for Marianne. And I guess Ginger's the last one left alive of that show now.
Just remember, everyone who loved Marianne like us, they buried her face down with her butt in the air, so you can have one last go say goodbye.
Yeah, as it should be.
One other thing, when we get into that Gilbert Gottfried switch out for movies, just remember, anybody can do this at home. Fun drinking game. Everyone could join in and have the fun, not just us.
Absolutely. And that would be a good drinking game. We might bring a little of that back for some side content later on in the season. So stay tuned in for that. And don't forget, we're still running that that contest for the Rick and Morty wood engravings by Creatures and Cosplay. So tune in to our YouTube channel. Check out episode 7. And that will... that's where you're going to count how many times my screen dropped during that particular recording session. And so it's easy. Just go to our Instagram, tag 3 friends, and then tell us how many times Jester's camera dropped during episode 7. And that'll enter you into the drawing for these one of 3 wood engravings that we do have. So 3 people are going to walk away with some really cool shit from Creatures and Cosplay. All right. So now that we got that all out of the way. No, it's cool. I dig the contest. I wish we would have done like more. We had one good one, like episode 1 of season 1 was the Snapchat dick filter picks. So they were going to send Jasmine and Cookie dick pics, but they had to use Snapchat filters on the dick pics, and so they ended up getting a few. So
they had lovely mustaches. Uh-huh.
One used the flower crown.
Nice. Did they have a one-eyed alien in there?
I think that was the one that won.
Nice.
So, but yeah, no, so we'll keep doing more of the contests, and you guys just, you know, hop on social media, check us out. You know, we're going to have up plenty of content. Big O's and Astrid have been hitting the social media with some really good memes lately, and Cookie and I have been posting some videos mostly on our Snapchats, or our Snapchat, on our Instagram, yeah. No, we haven't fucked around with Snapchat since that one time, and I guess that's why we're checking IDs now.
Just remember out there, all you four people watching, tell your friends so we can have eight people watching.
Right? You guys are why we do this. So, Gilbert was in Beverly Hills Cop, and he was in a little Beverly Hills Cop 2. And he was in a situation where he was trying to bribe his way out of getting a ticket. And so that sparked a couple of stories of when we had to kind of bribe somebody to kind of make something disappear.
So, yeah, you know, when he's talking as the lawyer, he's talking to Axel Foley saying, you know, I got a ticket right here. You got the item here. Or you have nothing in this hand over here. Maybe if you had something over there, it would make some over here just kind of disappear. You know, go away. Oh, he says to him, oh, you mean like if I had $200 here? $200? I'm ripping you off. Here's one, here's two. $200. Maybe this just kind of just rips apart and flies away. So that's, you know, what we're talking about, the bribery aspect of this whole situation. There was a time when I said something that I shouldn't have about my wife, you know, as a husband, as a person. You say things out of anger. It's not the best time to do it. It's not the worst time to do it. It happens. Shit happens. And my kids promptly looked at me and went, ooh, I'm going to tell mom. Well, I lost $20 that day for using the B word. I'm just saying right now. It was the best $20 I ever spent for a happy. I'm not going to take it back. It's out there. I'm done. What about you, Jester?
Well, I was like a sixth or seventh grade, and I, at the time, like the rows were set up so that like you were butted up like against another desk, like you're side to side, like shoulder to shoulder with somebody. I happened to be shoulder to shoulder with Pepper. And so I remember just like she was being really bitchy, and I said something to the effect about her period and a finger in her fucking ass or a stick up her ass. And it was at a time when the conversation in the classroom like kind of went to a really low point. And so like you could kind of hear what I said, but not really. And so then people turned around, the teacher was like, what was that? And I was like, nothing, I was just asking about the question. And so she looks at Pepper, and Pepper's like, well, actually. And I'm like, fuck, I'll buy your lunch today. And she's like, he was just asking about the question.
Hey man, compared to me, you got off easy. I spent $20.
So, oh gosh. Yeah, that's what it was. So shit like that. I mean, again, the same thing that you like fucking said something about the wife, and the fucking kid was like, huh? And I'm like, god damn it. Here's $20. You hear anything?
Good times. There was a time in high school where I said some stuff that I shouldn't have, but it wasn't in a mean vein. It was more like, you know, I'm attracted to this girl type of thing. And you're shy as a kid. And so one of my friends, not my best friend, would never rat me out, but one of my other friends was walking over to throw me under the bus. And I went through a couple Circle K sodas with that guy to keep him quiet. You know, nowadays as an adult, I don't give a fuck anymore. So, you know, hey, rat me, throw me under the bus, I'll deal with it and walk away. Back then, you know, everything mattered.
Right. It's like one of those, like, fuck it, I'll get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, all things considered, I guess that was getting off pretty cheap, which I'm sure Gilbert would like because, you know, he's a well-known cheapskate. And, you know, he talks about it quite frequently. And, like, I've heard, I forget what comic said it, but he was Jewish and he was like, just so I don't fucking fall into that stereotype, when I go out with my friends, I tip twice as much as I'm normally supposed to tip.
Well, Steve Buscemi went out and said so much as the cab fare they were sharing in New York one year. Gilbert did not tip or did not give him his half of the money for the fare and or tip. So Steve Buscemi, he was upcoming at the time on stand-up circuit before he became an actor, and he had to pay for the whole thing.
Have you heard about the new Jewish tire? It'll stop on a dime and pick it up.
What's it called? The Gottfried?
Yes. Available at all fine bagel shops everywhere. I wouldn't necessarily say I have a specific story around like when, you know, I cheaped it on something. I think it's more like instances like where I did shit that was like super cheap, like going to Dodger Stadium and like sneaking like all my food and like drinks that I was going to have in with me, going to the strip club and like constantly walking back to like the main stage where they're dancing and like throw a buck and then sit there and then walk back and then keep like, and making the money, like, you know, making $5 last for like 4 hours. I was in high school. The school across the street from where I lived had free lunch during the summer, and my brother was still young enough to get it, so he didn't want to eat the food, so I would send him to go get it and then bring it back to me so I could eat it for free.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, that went on for like 2 summers.
Nice. 2 summers worth of food.
Yep. And it was more apparent because sometimes I would have to go to practice like right, you know, like around 2. So I'd have to take the bus. So he would give me the lunch. I'd throw it in my backpack and then get to like school and eat it there. So everyone was like, where the fuck are you getting free lunch? I was like, from the school across the street from my house. And they're like, isn't there a cutoff for the age limit? I'm like, yeah, my little brother goes to get it. And one dude goes, I'm just going to stop you there. He's like, do you need money for food? I'm like, you asshole. I'm like, no, I got free food.
It could be worse than that. You could be like, hey, kid, give me the food. And then the cops are thinking that you're picking up on some child on the corner. And or they think it's a drug bust. You know, they're going to go after you for the pod in your bag.
Well, the next plan was if they cut him off at the school, I knew that they did it at the parks and recreation centers too. So I was just going to take him to one of the parks and have him get that free lunch.
Nice.
So like that, like premeditated cheapskate.
Nothing wrong with that. So before I realized that, you know, when you bring beer to a party, you're supposed to leave it there. It never dawned on me because I never brought beer to a party. And we're talking in my 30s here. You know, I should have known better. And when I say that is because after the party was over, I took the beer that I brought back with me home because I had no beer at home. I wanted some beer. And everybody brought a whole shit ton of beer. So what would they miss my beer for, right? I got called out the next day. I was like, oh, shit, that's a thing? Yeah, it is a thing. And I felt like a rat ass. But you know what? I had beer that night, so I felt better.
Hey, well, you know, fuck it. They were going to drink it.
Yeah. What the hell are they complaining about? It was going to be free anyway. There was a second notable time in my life when my kids were like really little. And one night I went out to dinner with my parents, my wife and the kids. And I'm not going to name the name of the restaurant because it's not their fault, Outback. So we're sitting down and, you know, waiting for our meal and our drinks and whatnot. We just barely sat down. It was a busy night. So I'll give it to him that night. You know, it was really busy. But it took about 45 minutes for the waitress even to come up to our table, even after we sat at our table. So my kids are starving. They're thirsty. And we barely get drinks another 20 minutes after that. So we're going an hour and 15 some odd minutes, right? Well, finally we get the drinks And then another 45 minutes passes and we still don't even have the food that we ordered. And we're like, you know, get your manager. I want to talk to your manager. We're leaving right now. Manager comes up and goes, well, you know, what's going on? I go, well, we barely saw our waitress. You know, we didn't get nothing. We barely have our drinks. Oh, your food's coming out. Well, that's what you said 20 minutes ago. I go, we've been here for 2 hours. We understand that you're busy. You know, we're very patient, but no one's talked to us. No one's done anything for us. Well, what would you like us to do? I'd like you to do your fucking job and get us some food because my kids are crying here. You know, I'm ready to go to McDonald's for everybody. We go through this whole rigmarole. And she, the manager, tells us, oh, just wait. We'll get your food. We'll get your food. Another 30 minutes pass. My kids are dying of hunger. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. We're leaving. You know, we get up out of the table and we start to leave. And that's when they bring out like $130 worth of food and a bunch of apologies. You know, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm yelling at the wife. I don't even want to take it. Let's just go buy McDonald's. Didn't leave no tip, left no money, free food, told them to F off in their business. Everybody saw how pissed off we were when we were walking out. I'm sure they lost more business. Cheapskate.
That was well-deserved cheapskate, though. Fuck that. I've walked out of places for less than like 45 minutes. It's like, if you don't come over in like the first 5 minutes, I'm probably going to bounce. Like if it's packed, okay. Like then like 10 minutes, but nah, if you leave me sitting there for too long, like unattended, I'll just fucking leave. Like,
yeah. Here's a lesson for all you kids listening to us right now. People work their ass off to serve your food if you're in a restaurant. So tip them well. You don't have to tip them awesome. Just tip them well.
Yeah. Yeah. Take care of your waitstaff. You know, they're out there. Like, I know a lot of people don't see them as like front line and stuff. But, I mean, really, they are, because they have to deal with a lot more people than you guys do. So make sure you take care of them. And then, you know, if there's bars that deliver their drinks or restaurants that deliver their drinks, like Mixits does, make sure you take care of them when you get, you know, you get your drinks. And by the way, if you if you're in the LA area and you do want to get some of his crafted drinks, you can go to Satan Second. They do takeout and delivery. And so I believe they can send the alcohol out too, so you can get some of their signature drinks that Mixit came up with.
And if I had a lot of money, I'd have come out to Arizona.
We'll see if they'll send a UPS.
Oh, and yeah, if they're assholes, you can be an asshole back. We'll give you that latitude. God damn it, the Grubhub guy ate the sandwich again.
So people were asking me when, like, because they saw like when Cookie and I did the we went live when I was driving DoorDash,
right?
And they're like, so be honest, do you ever get like tempted to like take fries or whatever? I'm like, yeah, no, the bags they give me are fucking stapled shut, so I can't.
You know, some people have come up with the bright idea to order their food and then maybe order a separate order of fries just for the person delivering it. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'd be down for that, because there's times where I'm like, I'm driving, it's around dinner time. But, you know, the dinner rush money's good. So I'm like, I'm out there. But every order I pick up, I'm like, and I'm starving already. And so just smelling all the different kinds of food, that shit's torture.
Oh my God, they got an extra order of fish anus and they gave it to me. Ugh, I guess I'll try it.
And then there's like places that were, they were handing me the drink cups and they're like, oh, it's this drink and this drink. I'm like, oh, I don't work here.
You pour this shit.
I'm like, no, man, I'm not touching that shit. Hell no. I'm like, there's probably fucking COVID all up in that. I'm like, fuck that.
This lemonade doesn't taste like lemonade.
And so they're like, they ended up like just handing me the cups anyways. I'm like, and they're all, it's this and this and this. I'm like, everybody gets Coke. I got it. And that's what happened. And they're like, no, it's not Coke. So I'm like, hey, the next time fill it up yourself, dude. Like, I just pick up the food. I don't work here.
Yeah, and just tell the customer that's getting the food, yeah, they didn't want to fill it up, so I just got all Coke because I didn't know your order.
I went to another place that, like, it was a sandwich place, and I'm like, they were like, would you mind filling up the cup? And I'm like, I just started laughing, and they're like, okay, never mind.
Dude, I just filled the cup.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind, and I started laughing, and the lady's like, yeah, no, never mind.
For all you kids don't know what we're talking about, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Again.
That was awesome. I fucking love that movie. All of those movies, that Mallrats, Dogma, Chasing Amy.
Yeah,
I think Chasing Amy, my favorite part was where he's like, now that, my friends, is what I call a shared moment.
Gilbert Gottfried in those movies would have been awesome.
Him instead of Ben Affleck.
I'm just trying to think of the lines that Ben Affleck said in there. It's a fictional character. They're not talking about you. They're talking about somebody else.
Yeah, that would be a good one. We actually have a few of those for you guys. Right before we get into that, there's that joke that I told you about called The Aristocrats. And again, this is a very old joke that's been around since the vaudeville days. And the point of the joke is to be as, you know, out there and offensive as possible. So if it's not your cup of tea, right about now is the time you might want to fast forward.
So when the Ten Commandments first initially came out, there was a third tablet. This was on that third tablet that broke before Moses' feet, just so you know. And now, here is the Aristocrats.
So this guy walks into a talent agency, and he looks at the talent agent and says, have I got the act for you? Talent agent looks at him. He's like, all right, I'll give you a couple minutes. What do you got? He's like, it's a great act. It involves me and the family, you know, my wife, my son, my daughter, and the family dog. He's like, all right, so what's it about? So he goes, all right, let me set the stage for you. It's a packed audience, people up to the stage. The mother and the daughter come out in bathrobes. They drop the bathrobes. They have tampon strings hanging with a little fucking tassel coming out of it. They start shaking around and doing like tricks with the tassels that are attached to those tampons. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're both up in handstands, right? They got their fucking legs all up in the air, spread all out, and they're still like shaking and moving around and like doing tricks with these tassels. Meanwhile, the father and the son come out in bathrobes and they get behind them and they're holding their legs and they're like spinning them around and shaking them up and down. And then they hold them still and they do this one last trick where they catch the tassel in their teeth and they rip the tampon out with their teeth and it's like full like to capacity. It's like it's not gonna hold anymore. The shit's like dripping. It's like vampire tea bags and the whole shit's just like fucking dripping down. And so they start taking these tampons and they start doing tricks with them in their mouth. They're spinning them around, they're splashing blood everywhere, it's getting all over the stage. And so then they start going down. Well, yeah, I guess down, because they're standing there holding them by the ankles. So they start going down on the two of them and like they start getting the blood and they're like spitting it out everywhere all over the stage, right? And it's making like fucking crop circle patterns in there. And so then they start like fingering them like real hard and they start squirting and they start spraying them like everywhere. So now you got like white and like, you know, pearl kind of shit like floating around with the red. And then they start pissing. And so like they're holding them up by the ankles and they're like shooting them around like fire hoses. And then it's making this like fucking these patterns of reds and oranges and yellows. And it's like when like a turd when you eat too much corn and carrots. And so then they get down and the father and the son go into a handstand, but since the stage is wet, they just got to push him around like, you know, basically like a big fucking dolly, right? And so they're pushing him around, and the father and the son are dropping turds on like specific parts of the stage, and they're like making brown accents on all the blood and the piss and the squirt juice. And so then once they have that, they all flip around, they hold each other's hands up, and they said, now the stage is set, we can get started. So then the daughter and the mother drop down. They start getting plowed in the ass by the father and the son. The family dog comes out and lays down on his back, and the mom and the daughter start blowing the dog. And then after that, they get up, they strap on, the father and the son get down, and then they start, and the mother and the daughter start doing them in the ass while they're Eiffel Towering the family dog. And so it's going so fucking well that they're gonna come so hard that they start fucking bleeding out their fucking eyes, and it's like making more and more of the fucking artwork that's on the stage. And they're all get to the point where they can't hold it. They all lay down on their backs up right up to the front row of the stage. And they all come at the same time, and it's like this huge fucking fountain, and it like covers everybody in the front row like it's at a like a fucking Gallagher show and the watermelon just exploded. And so then they stand up, everybody takes one group shit in a bucket, and then the dog jumps in the bucket, and then they all finish one more time jerking off on the dog's face. They turn around, they bow. And so that's the end of the act. And so the talent agent goes, "Oh my God, what do you even call that?" And the father looks at him and goes, "We're called the Aristocrats."
Huzzah!
So, yeah, that was really fun. I think I wouldn't mind doing that again. Probably sit down and actually write shit this time.
It's always better to make things on the cuff, and you did well.
Thanks, man. Thanks. So that joke's been around for a very, very long time, and every comedian puts his own, you know, spin on it, and the middle of the joke is always the part that's you're just kind of making up as you go along, or you've written stuff down. But the setup where the guy walks into the talent agency and talks to the talent agent, and then the end where he's like, "We call it the Aristocrats," is always the same. So that we call it the Aristocrats is the punchline. So, you know, the more gross and like out there you make this fucking joke while you're doing like the in-between part where he's telling him about the act or what the act involves, you know, there's like some main things that are always in the joke: the mother, the father, the daughter and the son, the family dog. But then there's variations where it's like grandma instead of the family dog, or it's a bird, or it's a cat. But there's always like blood, shit, piss, incest, and like a bunch of like different sexual acts that are like the staple of the middle part of that joke. So
yeah, kids, have fun with it. Invent your own. You know that the 30s and 40s and 20s, those stand-up acts in vaudeville, the people that were wholesome that you watched back then, they were particularly fond of this joke. That's why it is what it is today.
Yep, definitely. So Gilbert had his version of this joke. It was great. Again, I think just the voice when he was telling this shit, and his was way longer than mine. I think mine was only like maybe 4 or 5 minutes, but I think he went on for 15 about it. There are people that have gone on for 90. You know, so it's just, if you can keep talking, you can keep the joke going. Even if you're like, you know, having like little sidebar segues, it looks like this, like the turd with the fucking, when you eat too much orange and corn, like add detail to it. The more like detail you add to it, the more they see it, the funnier it makes the fucking punchline when he's like, "We call it the Aristocrats."
Wouldn't that be awesome if one of our Congress people would actually use that for filibustering and then go on for a day or two?
Oh, that would be fucking Guinness World fucking record worthy.
That would be a filibuster to, you know, end all filibusters.
Oh, hell yeah. That's something I'd fucking tune in to see. For sure.
On C-SPAN today, we have the Aristocrats.
So, we're talking about having like stuff like that. Like I tune in to see. I tune in to see a table read of Godfrey doing like different movie parts or different TV parts that were played by other actors. Like having him, like be, well, I don't know, Tom Hanks in Castaway. You know, talking to fucking Wilson, like, well, you're at beach volleyball. What the fuck? What? Who the fuck am I supposed to talk to now? Ah, fuck. Ah, fuck. I'm getting tired of my own fucking voice. I wish a fucking tsunami would wipe me out.
Or how about Godfrey as Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs? Standing there dancing to that wild music going, would you fuck me? Hey, fuck me. I look hot when I wear this stuff. It puts a lotion on the hands. Look at the fluffy bunny puppy. Pet the puppy and put the lotion on the hands. Look at my dick. It's tucked in between. I'm hot. I'm a hot motherfucker. I'm going to skin you later, so we use plenty of lotion.
Hello, Clarice. Affleck. or like with actors where like it like Joe Pesci instead of Joe Pesci in My Cousin Vinny, I'd put him in My Cousin Vinny. Lisa, I swear to God I do not need this right now. Your biological clock, my career, our marriage. Is there anything else we can pile onto the top of this shit?
And then you got the owl in the background going, Affleck!
Yeah. Were they in the cabin in the woods?
How about Godfrey in Top Gun? Instead of Tom Cruise.
I'm feeling the need for speed.
I got the need for speed. Now, I don't want to go too fast because of my glaucoma, but I just want to go fast enough. You know what I mean, Goose. You understand what I mean. And then the scene where the Goosey Jackson pops his head, all you hear is Godfrey in the background going, Affleck!
Oh man, yeah.
Or imagine the bar scene. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. Oh, that man. Right there is worth the $5 back in the day, right?
That must be so horrible to hear that man sing. They should have him sing and use that shit at Guantanamo to torture prisoners. Or have him just come in and talk to them at length.
How about a nice cock meat sandwich?
Or TV shows and like the Addams Family is Gomez Addams. Can you imagine flipping out of when Morticia speaks French?
Oh, Jesus, Morticia, I love it when you talk French. You get me rock hard. Have you ever heard the Aristocrats? This goes on for an hour, so sit down.
I would fucking, like, if they just gave him a bunch of different, like, fucking scenes to do as a table read, like, I'd fucking do pay-per-view to watch that. That'd be fucking hilarious.
What would he sound like in Something About Mary when he's in the house?
Franks and Banes!
How'd you get the Franks above the beans?
I tell you the side story about that fucking about that movie. I was really big one night after rehearsal, and we were watching it at and I had plenty of beer to drink, and so when the fucking brother was like, Frank Van Baines, I fucking lost it. I was like, I ran to the fucking bathroom already, like, fucking unzipping my pants. I'm like, God, I don't want to fucking piss on myself. And I was like, fucking laughing so hard. And the fucking assholes, I'm trying to piss and I'm fucking getting it everywhere because I'm fucking laughing so hard. And my fucking friends are like fucking rewinding that part because like fucking everybody just keeps dying every time he says it. So they like rewind it like a few times. And then like I could hear fucking random assholes in the fucking other room, Franks and Brains. And I'm like fucking laughing even harder. And it was just like, couldn't stop pissing, couldn't stop laughing. So like the fucking bathroom was a mess after that shit.
And he said, the Aristocrats.
Friend walks into the bathroom. What the fuck happened? I'm like, we call it the Aristocrats.
And scene. Could you imagine Gilbert Gottfried in Dazed and Confused?
The McConaughey part?
Yeah. All right. I get older and they seem to get younger. I don't understand. All I want is for them to touch my peepee hookers. That'd be so freaking awesome. He was meant for these parts. He just never got them because of, you know, his jokes being sick and twisted.
Jeff Ross did a this thing called Bumping Mics, and it was like basically it was like a two-man act. And so they would sit there and they would tell jokes, and every time they would roast each other, they would like, you know, bump their microphones. So the combo that I wanted to see would have been like Andrew Dice Clay and Gilbert Gottfried, like doing that Bumping Mics thing.
Oh, geez, man. That would have been awesome. Hey, you little Fruit Loop. Oh,
shut the fuck up, you New York bastard.
Oh, yeah, man. That would have been fucking awesome. And sometimes they would have like a random comedian that was in the crowd come up and like, you know, sit in with them for a few minutes or whatever. So like fucking those two, and then have like, I don't know, like Saget come up and sit in for 5 minutes.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That'd been awesome.
Yeah. Let's start fucking spamming their fucking Twitter. Maybe they'll do it.
that'd be great. Maybe we'll get some viewers.
Our seven users are fucking demanding that you guys get together.
Seven only? Hey, man, we were two not too long ago, so.
And like I said, we do it for you guys.
But yeah, this would be a great drinking game for anyone to be doing out there. Gottfried in movies and just doing an impression, you know, and everyone taking a slug off of that one. That'd be fun.
Yeah, if everybody laughs, then then you get to take a drink. If nobody laughs, then you got to take two drinks. Play hardcore mode. All right, guys, well, we are coming up on our time for this episode, but again, don't forget about the contest we got going. We got one more episode to go, and then we're gonna hit into that season break. But we are going to leave you with a little something to check out. This was the pilot episode that, you know, started, you know, the whole show. And so what we did was we went back and we mastered and re-edited and made it sound like more like what you're hearing today versus what, you know, we started off with was just a couple of mics and a Skype connection. So check it out. It's, you can, if you want to hear what the original is, just go to the website. It's in a section called The Show. There's the audio. It's audio only. That's what we did back then. So it's season one. Or if you want to scroll all the way to the bottom of the blog post, they're up there. Episode one is there, so you can check out the original audio, and then you get a chance to check out the remastered audio, so more closely to what you should have heard the first time.
Remember, everybody, I didn't start till episode four, so the one person of the seven people that doesn't like me, you'll love this.
And then we'll have some side content, but we are going to plan out the second season, or a second half of the season, rather, so that we make sure we get the funniest shit we can for you guys. So keep tuning in, and until next week, take a toke and watch all your worries go up in smoke. Peace.
Toke!